Today I'm going to preach one of the most stirring messages I ever preached, and it's going to be on the return of Christ. Very important, very relevant. The precious Lord Jesus is coming back, but the point is, the question is, when is this going to happen? Over and over and over and over, we continually hear about the pre-trib rapture of the church, and some people believe in a mid-trib, not very many, but some. And also, some also believe in a post-trib rapture of the church, but when is this going to happen? So today I would like to give you a string of verses. I want you to consider these. If you can't follow along now in your own Bible, please write down the references and you can verify them later. Here we go. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says this: concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, and I'll keep reading in a moment, but notice it says, our being gathered to him. That is clearly another description of what the rapture is. So he's talking about the rapture and the timing of the rapture. So let me pick up again. Our being gathered unto him, we ask you, brothers, not to be easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Do not let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. So very clearly, things are going to transpire prior to our being gathered unto the Lord, or the point of the rapture. And we're going to look into this more, but even at this point, it's very, very clear. Two striking things are going to occur, which did not happen yet. They have not happened, although this horrible backsliding, this lethargy, this lukewarmness, this rampant deception everywhere, even among those that profess to be Christian, is so disturbing to the saints. It says here the rebellion occurs. That might be the onset of it, but I really don't think pointedly it's the center of that rebellion. It also says here apostasy. You could understand that as apostasy because that is the Greek term. So the apostasy will occur and the man of lawlessness will be revealed, and that's another way of describing the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness. So that's what's going to happen, and that's going to happen before us being caught up to meet the Lord in the air, as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Now, some people take issue with the fact that the word rapture is not in the Bible. That's true. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but the equivalent is, as I just showed you, us being gathered unto him, us meeting the Lord in the air. So that is actually there. And this is the actual point when Jesus is coming for the saints, not with the saints. That's a different time. He's coming for the saints, us being gathered unto him. Okay, so let's move on. This is very important because when we hear the designation, someone teaching or believing in a pre-trib rapture, mid-trib rapture, post-trib rapture, they're talking about where is that going to occur? When is the rapture going to occur in relationship to the Great Tribulation? Because that's what they're referring to. The trib, it was referring to the tribulation, and that is how it reads in the King James Version of the Bible. Other translations have other terms describing the same event, but it means the same. Now, let's jump over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verses 1 through 3. Very important. Jesus is leaving the temple. He made a comment about the stones. And the disciples asked Jesus a vital question about the return of Christ. And this is it. Listen to this. This is verse 3. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Now we're going to find out what the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has to say about his own return. He's telling them and telling us, because it's written down in Scripture, so that we will know the timing, plus other details about the end of this age. And folks, some of you out there are not going to believe this, but it's actually in your Bible. This is what the Bible says, so hold on. Jesus started to answer in Matthew 24, and his answer carries over to the end of chapter 25. It's called the Olivet Discourse. But he also answers this in Mark 13 and Luke 21. So we're going to look at those other books and those other chapters later. But right now, I'm drawing your attention to Matthew 24. And I want you to see something. First of all, I want you to see Jesus' description of the Great Tribulation. And again, that's a term used in the King James. The NIV has the term Great Distress. And that's what I'm reading from right now. So listen to this. This is referring to the Great Tribulation. It says, "For there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened." So what is it we just seen? We should have observed several important points that this thing, this tribulation that is yet to come, it's going to be unequaled in misery and distress, unlike ever on this whole planet. And it will never be equaled again. And folks, it's going to be so bad that if the days were not cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, the days will be shortened. Now, if I had no other Bible verse, just that, I would know for sure that the elect or the saints are still going to be here. Because that's what Jesus said. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. That's crystal clear. It's also crystal clear. There is not going to be worldwide peace and prosperity for everyone. It's not going to happen. What is shown in the Word of God, the picture in Scripture, is basically the opposite of worldwide peace and prosperity for everyone. How anybody could teach worldwide peace and prosperity is just a mind blow to me. It makes me wonder, are they reading the Bible at all? Are they just trying to tickle ears? But here, let me move on. Matthew chapter 24, 23 through 27. Jesus said, "At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here's the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christ, false prophets," notice plural, "will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive the elect, if it were possible." See, I've told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, "There he is out in the desert," do not go out. Or, "Here is in the inner room," do not believe it. "For as the lightning that comes from the east is visible, even in the west, so will be at the coming of the Son of Man." So just like we read in 1 John 4:1, "Do not believe every spirit." Jesus himself said, don't believe it. If you hear these messages, he's in the inner room, he's out in the desert, don't believe it. It's not true. And then he talked about his own return, what it's going to be like. It's going to be a visible, obvious return, just like the lightning flashing across the sky, visible. But he said, and this is most stirring to me, false prophets, false Christ, and what are they going to do? It says, great signs and miracles they will produce. And for what reason? To deceive the elect. Did you hear that? To deceive the elect. If you're controlled and if you're moved and if you're influenced by miracles and signs and wonders and things like that, folks, there's something wrong. You've got to glue yourself to the Scripture, because there's two supernatural sources of these things. God, yes, God can do those things, but so can the devil and false prophets and false Christ. So as the lightning flashes across the sky, it's visible. Jesus' coming will not be secret. And also, when Jesus, the real Jesus, does come back, you're not going to have to go out anywhere. He's coming for you. You're going to meet him in the air when the rapture occurs. You won't have to search for him. He knows where you are. You're going to be gathered to him. But not only that, when you do see the Lord Jesus, he's going to have the scars of his crucifixion on his body. Now, we know that from John chapter 20, verse 27. When he appeared to Thomas, the apostle Thomas, he presented as evidence that it was he himself who was resurrected by the scars in his hands and the wound in his side. You could read it again for yourself, John chapter 20, verse 27. And then we have one other clear way to truly identify the Lord Jesus. 1 John 3, verse 2. "We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Talking about we're going to be like him, having a glorified body like he has. And that's what's going to happen at the rapture. At the rapture, your body that you now have will be changed to imperishable and incorruptible. It will never die, never. So all that wonderful detail is going to occur. It's going to happen. But you must be ready. You must still be with the Lord Jesus at that point. Listen to what else Jesus said. Now remember, he's answering their question. Tell us, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And then Jesus said, Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Jesus said this, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with great power and glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. So Jesus said the gathering of the elect is going to occur after the tribulation, after the distress of those days. That's when it's going to happen. He did not say before. He did not say in the middle. He said after. Now, there's a lot more important confirming, substantiating truth I'm going to share with you, paralleling this. I have already cited 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, which is also showing details definitely not taught by pre-trib rapture people. So it is after the tribulation, the precious Lord Jesus is returning, and he's coming for the elect to gather them to himself, and they're going to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. That's when it's going to happen. It's not going to happen any other time. It's not going to happen any other way. It doesn't matter what you want to believe. This is what's going to occur. It's going to be exactly like the Bible says, just like it says right here. So the word gathered is found again, just like it was at the very beginning when I started this teaching in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. But I want to now read a scripture, probably the most common scripture. It's frequently cited by the pre-trib rapture teachers, but they really don't notice important things about it that I'm going to point out to you. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 through 18. They usually stop at the end of 17, but I want to encourage you with verse 18 as well. This is what we read. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet call of God. Notice that, trumpet call of God. I just referred to that in Matthew 24, 31. So he's coming with the trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So again, this is cited in such a way as to give us important vital details for this piece of the puzzle in regards to the return of Christ. When is it going to happen? What's the details, even about the end of the age? Remember now, Jesus is answering these things, but I came over here to 1 Thessalonians 4 to confirm what I had already stated. But listen to this, folks. I'm about to really shock you with something, probably something you never heard before. You bear with me the next 2 or 3 minutes. In Matthew 24, 21 and 22, it describes the Great Tribulation. But it's also described and referred to in Revelation 7, 14. Now listen to this. I answered, sir, you know, and he said, these are they who have come out of the Great Tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now notice that. These are people that came out of the Great Tribulation. They're in heaven. We know that they got washed robes and they were washed white in the blood of the Lamb. What we need to do now is to just back up a couple verses, Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. Listen to this. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no man could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. So this is a worldwide issue, a worldwide tribulation. It's going to affect everybody on the whole globe, the whole planet. You're not going to escape from one area and go to another and not be impacted by it. because this is a test. This life is a test, and this especially will be a test, a big one, a rough one. This is the great tribulation. These people here in Revelation 7 I just referred to, they came out of the great tribulation. They overcame. That's very important. Now grab hold of this. This is the point I wanted to emphasize before. If you look that Greek term up, translated tribulation or distress, it also means persecution. You can accurately understand the great tribulation to mean the great persecution. And it's aimed at the saints, and I'll prove that to you. Give me a couple minutes, and I'll do that. But first, I want to show you where the same Greek word is translated and understood, persecution. Matthew 13, 21. Jesus is teaching on the parable of the sower. He said this, "But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away." Here it's translated persecution. And it can be translated persecution in those other verses. The great tribulation is the great persecution. I'm going to show you how to be victorious and how to overcome and how to get in the kingdom later on in this message. So hold on. I'll get there. Let me take you over to Revelation chapter 20, 4 through 6. It says, "I saw thrones in which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their forehead or hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, and the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years. So these people, blessed and holy people, part of the first resurrection, that's the resurrection of the righteous, the rapture, are being gathered unto him. They're there for what reason? They were beheaded rather than to worship the beast, which is another term for the Antichrist. So they didn't worship him, and they didn't receive the mark of the beast. They didn't receive his mark. So they had a testimony for Jesus, and because of the word of God, they didn't do those things. They did not commit idolatry. They didn't take the mark. So Christians, as faithful Christians, they will be beheaded for remaining faithful to Jesus during the time of the Antichrist and for not taking the mark of the beast that will be worldwide. And it says in Revelation 13:10, they're going to be killed with the sword. So that's how their head's going to get cut off, the sword. So before the Christ comes, the Antichrist will come. But multitudes don't know it. Multitudes of professing Christians that say they believe the Word of God, the Bible, they don't know it. But the Antichrist is coming first. Believe it or not, the Apostle John taught 1 John 2:18. The Antichrist is coming. Now, have you ever heard that in our day? Chances are, never. We always hear about Jesus coming. We always hear about the rapture. Well, John said, the Antichrist is coming. Now, if the saints were not going to be here, but we already know they will be here because the elect are going to be gathered from earth, taken to heaven, why would he even say this? The Antichrist is coming. There's been all kind of horrible things that have occurred in my Christian life over 40 years, around 44. So folks, over and over and over and over and over and over during that time, I have heard false prophecy, false predictions, one after the other, after the other, after the other. It's horrible. I think perhaps the latest one that deceived a lot of people came from a Calvinist named Harold Camping. And he predicted 2011. But believe it or not, you might not know this, Chuck Smith predicted 1981 or the year 2000 would be the return. Now, if you don't believe that, I got the documentation on the main website, eomin.org. You can go there yourself, eomin.org. You can look this up. You could see it. But there's one right here. I want you to actually hear his voice. I recorded this 31 years ago. Off of my radio. This is a man who predicted September 1988 would be the rapture of the church, and his name, Edgar Wisner. Listen to this.
1988 is the rapture of the church. This is what the prophets have been talking about for the last 3,400 years. There will be three raptures, three judgments, three nuclear world wars, and 5.7 billion people will either die or be raptured within the next 7 years. But you, brethren, talking to the faithful, are not in darkness that this day the rapture should take you by surprise. And we're to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's right, the rapture will not be a surprise to the faithful. All the end-time events are now known, and the dates have been assigned except for the day and hour of your rapture. Join Edgar Wisnett as he reveals startling truths of God's prophetic timetable and what, according to the Word of God, is about to transpire on this planet. And now, here are God's watchmen on the wall.
Welcome back. Good to have you with us again, and we are continuing our discussions with Edgar Wisnett, the author of the book 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Occur This Year. That's this September 11th, 12th, or 13th, during the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. That's a Jewish Feast of Trumpets. And praise God, we're going home to meet Jesus this September.
Okay, folks, you just heard it. Unfortunately, there have been many, many, many people deceived and terribly hurt. Even lives have been destroyed because they believed this kind of teaching. And the Bible teaches a post-trib rapture, not a pre-trib rapture. These things cannot occur. They could not have occurred in 2011, 1981, 1988, the year 2000, or any time, even today. The rapture will not occur today. It's not going to occur tomorrow. Some events must occur prior to that. When I say it's not going to happen tomorrow, it's going to have to happen after the tribulation. The tribulation really didn't hit yet, so that's how I could be so dogmatic. But let me keep moving on, because we keep getting flooded with pre-trib rapture teaching. Tim LaHaye, Hal Lindsey, Jack Van Impe, especially of the past. Right now, I don't know who's the number one top pre-trib rapture teacher. Maybe John Hagee. I don't know. But it's wrong. That's the problem. Folks, there's multitudes that don't know they're going to face the Antichrist. I'm talking multitudes of Christians don't realize if they are the last generation. Again, I magnify that. If they are the last generation, those of you that can hear me, if you are of the last generation, you will face the Antichrist. You're not getting raptured before. So what's going to happen? Let's think about this a moment. If you're believing in a pre-trib rapture, all of a sudden, horrible things happen, terrible, unbelievable things, major, massive, worldwide persecution against the saints. What do you think might happen? See, I don't really know. I'm going to guess. I believe a lot of people are going to fall away. They're going to turn away. Why are they going to turn away? Because they were taught pre-trib rapture. Maybe they were taught once saved, always saved, and they don't know they have to endure to the end to be saved. But Jesus said this, Matthew 24. Again, he's answering the question about the timing and the end of the age. Matthew 24, 9 and 10. Jesus said this, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. So when this hits, you're talking massive apostasy, just like we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The rebellion or the apostasy will take place. That's what he's referring to right here. And remember, Jesus' teaching that is most relevant is teaching the parable of the 10 virgins, and that's referring to the end of this age. Remember, that's still part of his answer about the timing. He's saying 10 virgins. Only 5 of the 10 were ready. The other 50%, they weren't ready. Jesus no longer knew them. It wasn't he never knew them. He did know them at one time, but they were no longer ready. He no longer knew them. Their lamp went out. People are going to fall away. Many are going to fall away. Folks, you must be different. If you're not different, you're going to yet end up in hell. You must be able to stand alone. You must be able to stand through trouble, distress, misery, pain, suffering. If not, you're not going to make it. Well, if you look at the details, Jesus said, what's going to happen during that time frame? False prophets, false Christ, wars, famines. There will be pestilences. And folks, unfortunately, I hope I'm wrong, but Revelation chapter 8 seems to be describing nuclear war. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it doesn't occur, but it sure looks like it to me. Read it for yourself when you can. Revelation chapter 8. But remember what I said before, how the great tribulation can be understood as the great persecution. Revelation 13, 7 through 10. Listen carefully. He, that's the Antichrist, was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship him. All those whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity, into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword, with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. So there's going to be a war against the saints, and they're going to be conquered. What that says to me is the prayers of the Christians, as powerful as they are, they're not going to work at this point. But there's a way to overcome. When it says they're going to be conquered, that only means they're going to be located. Consider the technology of our day. You're not going to flee and get away and hide somewhere from the Antichrist. It's not going to happen. It says you either go into captivity or you'll be killed with the sword. With today's technology, and it's ever advancing, every day, every week, every month, every year, and the Antichrist is not even to the forefront yet. They already can, right now, locate the Christians, most assuredly. So you don't go into hiding. Remember how they overcame. Remember the word of their testimony? The word of their testimony. And because of the word of God, they didn't receive the mark of the beast and they didn't worship the Antichrist or his image. But here it says, Revelation 13:10, this calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. So the saints are still going to be here. It's a war on the saints, and the saints are going to have to patiently endure and be faithful right to the end. The message has always been, you must endure to the end to be saved, as we see here. Now let's jump back. I started this message, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to read that again and read one more verse. So I'm going to give you 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 4. Listen to this. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and a man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Verse 4, that last verse I just gave you, I just read, it describes the Antichrist. That's how we can identify him. That's how we'll know it's him. It's not by what nationality a person is. It's by these details. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worship, and he's going to set himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. So that says to me, the temple is going to have to be rebuilt. Because the Antichrist is going to set himself up in that temple and proclaim himself to be God in that temple. And this is describing the abomination that causes desolation. Maybe you heard of that, maybe you didn't. It's so bad in our day, people hardly know anything in the Bible. The prophet Daniel referred to it three times, that is the abomination that causes desolation. Jesus referred to what Daniel stated in Matthew 24. But right here it's described. This is what will cause the abomination that leads to desolation. And it's going to happen before the rapture. You're not getting raptured prior to that. So before that occurs, this apostasy will take place, which Jesus referred to in Matthew 24, 9 and 10, when he said, many will turn from the faith. And the Antichrist or the man of lawlessness, will be revealed. You will be able to identify him before the rapture. And now we have the identifying details how to know the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Now all that should be clear. It should be stirring. Let me give you another passage, also from Jesus. Remember what I said. The Olivet Discourse, where Jesus answers the disciples' question about his timing and other details about the end of the age, it's also found in Mark 13 and Luke 21. In Mark 13, 24 through 27, when I deal with somebody on this, and I'm out on the street or wherever it might be, and I only have a few minutes, I come directly to this passage because, in my opinion, it is so crystal clear. Listen to what Jesus said. In those days following that distress, or following the tribulation, the sun will be dark and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky. The heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds of the earth to the ends of heaven. So the gathering from earth to heaven happens after the tribulation. That's when the gathering of the elect from earth to heaven will occur. Not before, not in the middle. So if you hear somebody saying it's going to be before, don't believe it anymore. There's no reason to believe it. If you believe the Bible, this is what the Word of God has to say. This is Jesus himself. He said it's going to happen after the tribulation. Now, though we don't know the day or the hour, we do know the time or the season, because Jesus said it's like the twigs on a fig tree that get tender. When that occurs, you know summer is near. That's Mark 13:28. And folks, when the great tribulation is ending, after the Antichrist is here, and all this horrible worldwide persecution, all this other stuff is going on. It's so horrible. If the days were not shortened, nobody would survive. But for the sake of the elect, the days will be shortened. You know the return of the Lord is getting close. So again, Jesus taught the tribulation, and then after that, the gathering unto him. But here's another chief rapture passage. 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52. Listen to this. I'm going to give you more clear proof when the rapture is going to occur. Listen carefully. 1 Cor 15:51-52. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Folks, that's the rapture. That's our body that will be changed. When is it going to happen? He tells us, it's crystal clear, at the last trumpet. That's the timing. This is the Apostle Paul. He's teaching exactly the same as Jesus already gave, and I cited for you, but in different words. But he also said this is a mystery. So let's look at this. When is the last trumpet? If you go to the book of Revelation, you'll find out the seventh trumpet is the last trumpet. There's seven trumpets. Trumpet number seven is the last one. Revelation 11:15 is the seventh trumpet. And just a couple of verses later, stating what occurs, the nations were angry, and your wrath has come. Notice when the wrath comes, not before the seventh trumpet. All of a sudden now, the wrath of God comes, and it says, the time has come for judging the dead and rewarding your servants, the prophets and your saints, and those who reverence your name, both small and great, and for destroying those that destroy the earth. So my question to you is, when are the saints going to be rewarded? When? When does that happen? Did the Apostle Paul get rewarded yet? No. No, he didn't get rewarded yet. Nobody did. It's going to happen at the seventh trumpet. That's when it's going to occur. Jesus was teaching about repayment, rewards. Luke 14, 13 and 14. Listen to this, what Jesus said. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So the resurrection of the righteous is the same as the rapture, which is the same as our being gathered unto him, which is the same as the first resurrection. And that's when the saints will be rewarded or repaid. And it happens at the rapture, the seventh trumpet. And notice, when I gave you 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, it states a mystery is this. Mystery. Well, that makes sense. Because Revelation chapter 10, verse 7 says, in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants the prophets. Folks, could it be more clear? This is one piece of the puzzle after another, after another, after another, after another. It's not pre-trib, it's post-trib. I would like to believe in a pre-trib. In fact, I used to believe in a pre-trib. When I left the Catholic Church, I went into a Protestant church, never heard of the rapture. They started talking about this thing called rapture. I never even heard of it. I picked up a book by Salem Kerbain way back when, and I started to believe in it because of that. But it's not what the Bible says. That's wrong. They got it wrong, folks. They got the timing wrong. There's going to be a war against the saints. The Antichrist is going to make war against the saints. If you are of that last generation, the Antichrist is going to make war against you. You're not going to hide. You're not going to a remote location somewhere to get away from him. It's a test. And the only way you're going to be victorious, you have to be willing to die. In fact, you have to be willing to die right now. If somebody would threaten to kill you or you disown Jesus, it's the same situation. So this war against the saints is going to occur. Now remember, the great tribulation can be understood as the great persecution on the saints worldwide from the Antichrist. Not before the Antichrist gets here. We're going to face him if this is the last generation. But the temple got to be rebuilt first. And there's other details as well. But I just want to mention that. Now here we go. Listen to this. Don't miss this. If anyone is going to captivity, in a captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. So your prayers won't deliver you. And if you don't get killed by the sword here, you're going into captivity. Maybe it's them. Maybe it's them that went into captivity. In Matthew 25, when Jesus comes back, there'll be some sheep there. Maybe these are the ones. But regardless, you must patiently endure. You must endure to the end. Oh, here we go. Here's a passage I really like for multiple reasons. And it's relevant for this. It's the message from the third angel. Revelation 14, 9 through 12. A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast in his image or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandments and remain faithful to Jesus. Remain faithful to Jesus, even if you have to die. Patient endurance. You can imagine all kind of calamities, famines, pestilences, all kind of false prophets and false Christ performing miracles, great miracles, to deceive the elect. All these things going on. But the ones that remain faithful and pass the test, they're going to have to patiently endure. And folks, if you don't think you're going to have to patiently endure, how are you going to patiently endure? If you think you're going to get raptured out of here today or tomorrow, poof, all of a sudden you're out of here and you're in paradise. Folks, you're set up for spiritual destruction. And clearly, Revelation 14, 9 through 12 teaches there is no once saved, always saved, because this talks about the saints even must not take this mark, because all that do take it, they'll be tormented with burning sulfur. The smoke of the torment will rise forever and ever. And there is no rest day or night. So there's no once saved, always saved. And they'll go to hell, the lake of fire, over this one sin. So don't tell me it got to be practice of sin, habitual. In some cases, one sin will cause loss of salvation, like we see right here. And the people out there that don't believe once saved, always saved, I'm talking the preachers that don't believe once saved, always saved, why aren't you preaching against it? Can you imagine the devil's 1-2 punch? Pre-trib rapture and once saved, always saved? Well, just go ahead. Take the mark of the beast. Go ahead, take it. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. You'll still go to heaven. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what this says. And that's not what you should believe. But that is what the devil wants you to believe. Ah, you probably heard this taken out of context from the pre-trib rapture people. Luke 21:28. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Folks, this is a prime example of examining the context to know what he's talking about. He said, when these things begin to take place. So you've got to find out, what are these things? What's he referring to? When is the redemption of our body going to take place? And we're going to find out in 1 minute. But what does that mean, redemption of our body? The clear answer is in Romans 8:23. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. He's talking about the rapture, the redemption of our bodies. That's what Luke 21:28 is talking about. But what's the context? Here's the context, folks. Here it is. Luke 21:25-28. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Again, the pre-trib rapture people have distorted the Word of God. They've given a false impression about the return of Christ. These things are going to have to happen first. Changes in the way we view the sun, the moon, the stars, the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men fainting from terror of what's going to happen. Folks, has that happened yet? No, of course it hasn't. So nobody can justly say, when these things begin to happen, lift up your head. Look up there in the sky. Your redemption is drawing near. They've taken that out of context. Just like everything the pre-trib rapture people take out of context to give that false, dangerous impression. But I want to make a point. Listen to this. Revelation 13:5-6. This is about the reign of the Antichrist. It says, the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He will open his mouth to blaspheme God and slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. But the point especially I'm magnifying is he's going to exercise his authority, which will be worldwide, according to other scriptures, for 42 months. So I have to ask you a question. How is it going to end? How does that end for the Antichrist after 42 months? Well, Jesus will return at the Mount of Olives. That's Revelation 19. That's when he comes with the saints, not for the saints. For the saints is the rapture. With the saints is when he sets up his thousand-year reign. But at the same time, the Antichrist will be defeated, and he'll be thrown alive into the lake of fire. So if you knew when the Antichrist starts his reign, 42 months later, according to this scripture, Revelation 13:5-6, you'll know when Jesus is coming back to the Mount of Olives. Again, that's when he's coming with the saints, Revelation 19, not for the saints, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, Mark 13:24-27. Ah, folks. I hope you're stirred. I hope you are stirred by this, because it's time to wipe the sleep from your eyes and realize what is happening. We're talking a worldwide cataclysmic, horrible time is yet to hit, and you're not escaping through a pre-trib rapture. It's not going to happen. Now we need to know, and this is what I referred to before, how are we going to prepare? How do we get the victory over the Antichrist? And it actually uses that term in Revelation 15, verse 2. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing besides the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and over the number of his name, they were given harps by God. So these were people that were victorious over the Antichrist, though it said earlier that the Antichrist will conquer the saints. He'll make war against them and conquer them. So you could still be victorious even though you're conquered. So it must be that he's going to locate us and you'll be given an ultimatum. You worship the beast and take the mark, or you won't be able to buy or sell. And if you rebel like that, you're either going to go into captivity or you'll get your head cut off. So you prepare for that horrible time, not by stockpiling food, although it's always smart, it's always wise, it's always good to do that. You don't know what some kind of problem will arise, but you prepare spiritually. Spiritually is how you prepare. You have to be prepared. You have to be ready spiritually for rough times. It calls for courage, especially at this point in time. You must be able to patiently endure and remain faithful, or you will be lost. Revelation 13:10. I cited it before. If anyone is going to captivity, in a captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. And I also refer to Revelation 14:9-12. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commands, remain faithful to Jesus. But here's another verse, and especially, if you memorize one scripture regarding how to prepare for the mark of the beast and the great tribulation, if you're alive then, you might not be. You might be long dead. But if you are of that last generation, here's an excellent verse to memorize. Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. So here it is again, just like I cited before, the word of their testimony. You're not going to shrink from death if somebody angrily with a sword tracks you down. Are you a Christian? And you say no. Well, you did the essence of what Peter did when he disowned Jesus. You got to remain faithful. Yes, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. I love the precious Lord Jesus who died on a cross for me. I'm not taking the mark of the beast. I'm not worshiping that image. And that's it. That's the way you become part of the first resurrection and you get to paradise if you're alive physically at that point. You might be long dead. So imagine what it's going to be like when the mark of the beast is issued and you're faithful to God, you're God-fearing, you know you can't take that mark because if you do, you're going to go to a lake of fire. There's going to be people starving, people that need medical attention, they're not getting it. There's going to be all kind of trouble, all kind of problems, all kind of pressure. Take the mark of the beast. Oh, folks, you must never take the mark of the beast. Regardless of what happens, it's better to die 10,000 times rather than take the mark of the beast. Don't even think about that option. You're going to have to remain faithful to the end to be saved. Remember what Jesus said. He's sending the 12 out in Matthew 10. He said, don't be afraid of those that kill the body, cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And that certainly applies at any time, including when the Antichrist is here. And if you're alive, the last generation, you're going to face the Antichrist before you meet the Christ in the air. I would imagine the contents of this stirring message, they're a little nervous about all this, maybe a little disturbed. Well, Jesus said this, John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. Don't be troubled, and don't be afraid. You make your life count for God. You set it in your heart. You're staying faithful to Jesus. If you have to die a martyr, and that's really what the word witness in Acts 1:8 means, martyr, so be it. Death means nothing. The only thing that really matters is dying with a pure heart so you could get to paradise. That is where you must go, folks. You don't want to miss paradise because the only other place is the lake of fire. Don't let your heart be troubled. All this stuff down here, all the trouble, all the suffering, all the pain, it befalls everyone. You're not alone. The trials, the tribulations, the misery that befall you and your loved ones is common. Don't let your hearts be troubled or be afraid. Take one day at a time, 1 hour at a time if you have to, but endure. Stay with Jesus whatever you do. Whatever you do, don't turn away. Jesus said, Matthew 24:15-16, so when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. This is that event I referred to earlier, the abomination that causes desolation. And Daniel the prophet referred to it, and especially gives a word to those in Judea. Not here in America, not in Canada, not in South America, not in Europe somewhere, over in Judea, to flee to the mountains. Because what's going to happen, we find out in Scripture that Jerusalem is going to be desolated. And that's the same event when Jesus said, when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation. That's what Paul referred to in 2 Thessalonians 2:4. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, in the holy place, proclaiming himself to be God. That's the abomination. Imagine him proclaiming himself to be God. That act will cause desolation. And those in Judea better get out quick. Flee to the mountains. Luke 21:20-21. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. Let those in the country not enter the city. Folks, that's going to happen. It's going to happen exactly like it says here. Exactly like the book says. Exactly like your Bible says. So how is it? How is it? So many are believing in a pre-trib rapture. Well, I know for me, when I was yet young in the Lord, I heard for the first time this term rapture. What is that? And I was misled. Everybody's teaching this kind of thing. Go to the Bible. Believe what the Bible says. Post-trib rapture. We're going to face the Antichrist before our being gathered unto the Lord. Oh, folks, it's sad, but it's true, that the vast majority of people that profess to be Christian, they believe in a pre-trib rapture when it's not true. They're set up for destruction. They'll be taken off their guard. You got to be guarded. You got to be ready spiritually. You got to be ready for rough times, unequal from any other point in all of history. It's yet to happen. And you can see why ear ticklers would want to teach a pre-trib rapture. Oh, absolutely. See, that's how a lot of people get a following. They get money coming their direction. They tickle ears. They teach what people want to hear rather than what the Bible says, like once saved, always saved. That doctrine right there, once saved, always saved, is the devil's best. Can you imagine a combination between eternal security and pre-trib rapture, like I said earlier? Oh, folks, Jesus said many will turn from the faith and betray and hate one another. You can imagine. They're going to think, if the Bible was really true, I should have been raptured. That's what all the big-name teachers on the TV and the radio and in the books, the popular books, they're all teaching a pre-trib rapture. But it's false. It's not true. Our gathering unto him will happen after the tribulation of those days. Not before, not in the middle, but it will happen after the tribulation of those days. I have a lot more teaching on this on my main website. If you want to go, check it out. EOMIN.org. EOMIN.org. You could verify a lot more information.